only pay our taxes. Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.
Did you forget the trespasses you did last week?
Amen.
I don't understand what's going on. Let me see if you are there.
Barbara, can you hear me?
Father, I can hear you.
Okay, it seems that there is a problem with the audio with Barbara, but if you close the microphone, okay. I mean, if you are able to hear me, then we can start with the class as usual, okay? All right. Let me recollect here because, okay. Today, I want to start with the Book of Heaven. I want to start with volume 36, November 6, 1938. This is the last passage we read last week. And in this passage, the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta how important it is for us to come and to know all these truths, to read the Book of Heaven. And in that passage, in the middle of that entry, the Lord says, my truths form the ascent through which the creature is able to reach God. And God is able to reach the creature. So every one of these truths that the Lord is giving to Luisa Picaretta is forming something in her. Then in volume 24, the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta in March 25, 1928, the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that each one of these truths that he is revealing to her, first of all, they form little flashes of light. Then they will form little fountains of light. Then these fountains of light will become oceans of light. Last class, I told you that these little meetings that we have here every Sunday, they should not substitute your daily reading and meditation of the Book of Heaven. Because the Lord is giving to each one of us according to our capacity. And this capacity in us develops with our acts, with how much we know, with the dispositions that we have in our souls. So everyone is going to experience this transformation, but it depends on each one of us. The disposition of our soul, preparing our souls to receive this gift, availing our souls through the sacrament of confession, then coming into the Book of Heaven, finding all these truths, then to do acts in the divine will. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 17, verse 3, when the Lord prays for the church, he says something that is very important for us to know in relation with the Book of Heaven. He says the following. He prays for the church. And he tells the Father that his hour has come to glorify him. And then he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. He's praying for the church. And he is praying for all of us. Then he says, and this is eternal life. What's eternal life? That I come to know you. So we know that knowledge of God is important. Heaven is knowledge of God according to the capacity of the soul. So eternity is knowledge of God, of himself, according to the capacity of the creature. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. When the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta in volume 36 that each truth that he reveals to her forms another step for the creature to reach him and for him to encounter the creature, for the soul to be united with him as to form, as he says, one divine society. The soul encountering God, advancing towards perfection, reaching the spiritual maturity that the soul has to reach. So knowledge is very important. Our Lord Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John to know. Many times, Luisa Picaretta, she doesn't want to write. She doesn't want to write, and our Lord Jesus tells her, you must write, because through these writings, others will come to know this gift. If you don't want to write, it's like you want to deprive others from this gift. So we know that it's important to know, that knowledge is important, that we even find this in sacred scriptures, that eternal life consists in knowing God. And what these writings that the Lord gives us through Luisa Picaretta, we encounter in this Book of Heaven, knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to live in the will of God? So to read and to deposit those little seeds, those little flashes of light, that they will form fountains and then oceans. So you see that knowledge develops. It starts with a little flash of light, the Lord tells us, in volume 24, March 25, 1928, that these truths that he reveals to Luisa Picaretta, they become that in our soul. So let's go to that passage. Let me find it here. And see what the Lord says. The first truths, they become flashes of light, which unleash an endless light from within them. Then little by little, they are no longer flashes, but fountains. Fountains of life. Finally, they become oceans, seed of light. You see how the gift develops in us. It's like doing acts in the divine will. You do one act, another act, and another act, and another act, and another act, until it becomes life in you. So life is formed through many acts. One act, another act, another act, another act, and this becomes life in the creatures. And only when we are alive, the body is able to do acts. Therefore, somebody, a body who does not have a life, is not able to do acts. It doesn't have life. Now we, by doing acts and acts and acts and acts in the divine will, then this will become in us a second nature, living in the will of God. So you see, it is a process. Even though this is a gift that God bestows upon us, it requires the cooperation of the human will of the creatures. And the Lord tells us through this book. So we come, we encounter the truths. We find the knowledge of how to live in the will of God. Then we translate this into acts in the divine will. And a little by little, our acts, they will become life. And those truths, from little flashes of light, they will become fountains and notions of light. So you see how the gift develops in each one of us. So it is up to each one of us. How much time do we dedicate to these writings? How much we immerse ourselves to live in his will, to be attentive, not to go out of his will, but to always ask the Lord to remain in that state. And this is possible. The church tells us in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in number 521, in that numeral there, the church tells us that Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived. And he lives all his life in us. So Christ living his life in each one of us. So this is the teaching of the Catholic Church in 521 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So what our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picarreta, it should not be something strange to all of us, something new. This is something that the church already teaches. Christ is able to live everything that he lived. He's able to live it in us, right? And through this gift, he's able to perfect us, to perfect our souls. Because then if the will of God operates in each one of our acts, Jesus is living his life in us. And this is what this gift is all about, to let the divine will, the will of God, have its life in every single one of our acts, to have life in every single act that we do. And this gift is given to us when this gift is restored in us already in baptism. In baptism, this gift is restored in all of us. But what happens? Many of us, we don't even know that it's there. So we have to know how to operate this gift that is being given to us, that is being given to us, is being restored in us in baptism. We need to know what's the purpose of this gift. So the purpose of this gift is so that God the Father may receive his glory. And in receiving his glory, the perfect glory from the creature, the perfect correspondence from the creature, in receiving that perfect correspondence from the creature, God the Father is glorified. He's glorified in each one of us when we allow him to operate in us. This is the life that Adam was living before the fall. We also know that the church teaches us that Adam was created in the state of grace. You can find this in the Catechism of the Catholic Church in number 374. In number 374, the Catechism tells us that the first man, Adam, was not only created good, but was also established in friendship with his creators and in harmony with himself and with the creation around him. So he was established in friendship with God, and there was harmony within himself and with creation. Everything was in harmony, so there was no division in him. There was no separation. At the fall, he took that presence of God away from him. He wanted to operate without God. He wanted to operate only with his will. Tells us also, what was the purpose for this? The Catechism tells us to share in the divine life. So Adam and Eve were sharing in the divine life before the fall. And now, with these writings, with this gift that the Lord gives us through Luisa Picaretta, the Lord gives us now the knowledge of how to participate in this divine life by letting the divine will operate in every single one of our acts, to give room to the divine will in every single act that we do. And in that single action of letting the divine will operate in you, then God the Father will be glorified, and the creature will ascend to that state that was intended for us at the beginning, so that every moment we were supposed to grow in that gift, to let that gift grow in us, to grow in union with God. In volume 29 of the Book of Heaven, in May 31st, 1931, our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta how the divine will is what moves everything. The divine will is, we can say, what moves God. We have to understand that all the attributes of God together, wisdom, knowledge, beauty, all that God is, mercy, all of these divine attributes are joined by love. And what moves each one of these attributes in God is the divine will. So in this passage, May 31st, our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that the divine will is the force that moves everything. Let's see what he says. Let me find my place here because I lost it. Well, the Lord says that the divine will communicates. The divine will is the one that moves and communicates that life in the creatures. The divine will is the one that gives that life to the soul. It says, the divine will makes the soul grow so that each soul may receive according to its capacity. So each one of us will receive according to our capacity, and each one of us will grow according to how we immerse ourselves in the divine will, according to the knowledge that we possess, and according to the acts, how we let the divine will grow in us. The Lord says to Luisa Picaretta, my daughter, how sweet it is for me to find you in my divine will, and not like those creatures who are in it by force, by necessity, and because they cannot do without it, and while they are in it, they do not know it. They do not love it. They do not appreciate it. I can say that the creature who lives in my will, I find in her sanctity, and I want to repay that creature with joys and with happiness, he says. And I may her grow always until I am able to say, I have no more to give her. God can never be exhausted because God is infinite. And God can only give us according to our capacity. And it is through these writings that we are able to come to know what to live in the divine will is. And how we can possess this gift. The Lord continues in that passage and he says, you must know that each creature is a kingdom. Each one of us, the Lord says, is a kingdom. Therefore, one who lets the divine will reign within herself can become a little kingdom of the supreme fiat, Many times the Lord in the gospel, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here the Lord tells us that each soul who lets the divine will reign in her is a little kingdom. The Catechism in the Catholic Church, when the Church talks about the petition in the Our Father, the third petition of the Our Fathers, asking the kingdom to come, this is what the Church says in the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 2860. In the third petition, we ask our fathers to unite our will to that of his son. So we ask the fathers to unite our will to the will of his son, which is the son of, which is the will of the fathers. Why? What's the purpose? And the Church tells us, so as to fulfill his plan of salvation in the life of the world. So that Christ can live in us. So he can live, he can repeat his life in each one of us. So in that way, he can fulfill the salvation of the human race. So in the world, our Lord Jesus, he doesn't have the humanity that he possesses. Now he has a glorified body. So through this gift, we lend our humanity so that he may continue to do in us, to live in us, as the Catechism tells us in 521. So in living in us, he may continue his plan of salvation in the life of the world, what the Catechism tells us in 2860. This is so connected. The teachings of the Church are so connected with the Book of Heaven. If we read the Book of Heaven and we know Sacred Scripture, we know the Catechism, we see that everything comes together and it makes perfect sense. The whole plan of God makes perfect sense. And it is very clear then, it becomes very clear where he wants to take us. He wants to take us until we reach that completion that we were supposed to have Adam and Eve have not sin. So now through these writings, we are invited to pick up from where they left off, to restart from where they left off and to continue doing acts in his will. And he explains what is, how it begins. That's why it is, again, so important for all of us to read, to meditate on these writings every single day, to spend time reading and meditating these writings, and to be able to understand them in union with the teachings of the Church and with Sacred Scriptures. And to know that this gift, through this gift, we are invited to live the same life that our Lord Jesus lived in his humanity. The same life that the Blessed Mother lived. And now we are invited to participate in that divine life. It starts by coming to know the gift, by filling our souls with those seeds of truth, letting that flash of light enter in our soul, and then those flashes of light becoming fountains until they become oceans of light in which God can inundate and can pour out all his attributes, all that he wants to give to the creatures. This makes perfect sense with the revelation, the private revelation of divine mercy. And this is the time of mercy that God wants to unleash the oceans of mercy upon all of us. And for this, we must avail ourselves to receive this gift. So I cannot stress enough how important it is for us to read the volumes and to become familiar with them. They are in a way self-explanatory if you meditate on them. Today I will, I want also to continue with volume 23 of the Book of Heaven. In the website, we have been doing the recordings. We continue what Father Robert Young was doing with the volumes. And since we have done in the past classes about this, this gift, and we did the Blessed Mother, we did the rounds of creation, and you, in general, you have very good understanding, or at least you should have a very good understanding of the gift of the writings, of what this gift is all about, and what's the main purpose of this gift, and how to exercise this gift, how to grow in this gift. So I want to continue from now on with volume 23 of the Book of Heaven. And today we will do the passage that, the next passage that comes from October 2nd, 1927. And in that passage, the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta how Adam, when he was in the state of grace, he says, you must know that Adam possessed such sanctity. So we already know that the church teaches us, I read to you, that the church teaches us that this is true, that Adam was created in the state of grace. So this should not be new for all of us, that this is something that we find in the catechism. Now, we are going to expand on what already the church tells us. Let me just give you again this number so that you can go back and verify. Is the Catechism of the Catholic Church 374. In there, the church talks about Adam in the state of grace. Now, we already know that they were created in the state of grace, and the purpose for that also was that they may share in the divine life, and that they were growing in the knowledge and understanding of God at every single moment with every single act, and that at every moment they were full to the brim, as our Lord tells us. And now in this passage, we encounter that our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta about this state in which Adam was created. So this is a perfect example of how through these writings we expand and we grow in the knowledge of what the church already teaches. So this is what our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta. You must know that Adam possessed such sanctity when he was created by God. And his acts, even the slightest, had such value that no saint, either before or after my coming upon earth, can be compared to his sanctity. And all of their acts together do not reach the value of one single act of Adam. Because in my divine will, he possessed the fullness of sanctity, the totality of all the divine goods. And then the Lord tells the Zapicarreta, do you know what fullness means? It means to be filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing with light, sanctity, love, with all the divine qualities. Now the Lord is telling Luisa Picaretta not only what the Catechism tells us, but now he's expanding on that. And he tells Luisa Picaretta that he was filled to the brim. In other words, that there was not a moment before the fall in which Adam didn't possess fullness in his soul as much as he could contain at every moment. You remember in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, when the angel brings the message to the Blessed Mother. He says, "Hail, full of grace, since the Blessed Mother possessed the gift of the divine will, there was never a moment that the Blessed Mother was not filled to the brim. She was always filled according to her capacity at every moment. Now the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta here that Adam was overflowing with sanctity, love, and all the divine qualities. One way in which we can talk about God to understand who God is to look at all the divine attributes or divine qualities. So we could say that God is all the divine attributes together. God is all the divine attributes together, binded by love. That love, which is another attribute of God, binds all the other attributes. What are the other attributes of God? To give you an example of some: knowledge, beauty, truth, mercy, justice. These are only some of the attributes of God. So God is all of this. And what moves God, each one of his attributes, is the divine will. You can say is the force or the power that moves God to do something. And every time that God acts, these attributes are moved or they are executed by love. So the divine will moves love to exercise justice, we could say. The divine will moves love to exercise mercy in the sacrament of confession. The divine will moves love to exercise wisdom and so forth. So what the Lord is telling Luisa Picarreta here, that Adam was filled with all the divine attributes in such a way as to be able to fill heaven and earth. Of course, he was growing in this at every moment. He was able to receive according to his capacity, but there was not a moment in which he was not filled to the brim according to his capacity. The Lord tells Luisa Picarreta, therefore, each one of his acts done in this fullness of divine goods had such value that no one else, as much as they might sacrifice themselves, suffer and do good, they will come to possess the kingdom of my will. Therefore, the glory, the love that Adam gave me, as long as he lived in the kingdom of my volition, no one has given me, because in these acts he gave me fullness and totality of all goods. And only in my will can these acts be found. Outside of them, of my will, they do not exist. Therefore, Adam had his riches, his acts of infinite value. Our Lord is talking about this state of grace in which Adam was created. And when he says that nobody, of course, this excludes the Blessed Mother, because the Blessed Mother possessed this gift since the moment of her conception. Now, through these writings of Luisa Picarreta, we are able to do acts in the divine will also. Because this is what was intended for all of us, that all of us will come to possess this gift. Unfortunately, it was lost by the act of disobedience. Now it has been restored. And it's been restored in us in the sacrament of baptism. We possess that ability now, but we do not know that it's there, and we do not know how to operate this gift. Now we know, because through these writings, we know how to operate this gift. We know that this gift exists in us, and it is now up to each one of us to let the divine will reign and have life in each one of our acts. It's, in a way, very simple. In a way, it's very simple. God is very simple. Our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta that he doesn't make difficult things for the creatures. This gift that we received through Luisa can be learned and can be exercised by those who have PhDs, you know, who are doctors and educated and all of that, as well as those who do not have these titles, this much education. It can be learned by the simple and by the learned, by everybody. By everybody. Because this is the gift that is being given in our time. And the purpose of this gift is that we may be complete. The purpose is that God may receive his glory. And in that, we will be complete. This is what the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta. By living in the kingdom of our will, Adam had penetrated into our boundaries, which have no limits. God is infinite. We can never exhaust God. But by living in that gift, he was able to penetrate in the life of God. And he placed his acts, his glory, his love for his creator in everything he did, everywhere. And as our child, with the acts he emitted, he brought us our richness, our joys, our glory and love. His echo resounded in our whole being, as ours did in his. So it was an exchange. It was an exchange of love between God and the creatures. For you to understand this, you know, perhaps if we look at this exchange of love that was happening between Adam and God before the fall, Adam was doing the same thing that the second person of the Blessed Trinity does. The second person of the Blessed Trinity, which is Jesus, he corresponds and he gives back to the Father everything that he receives from the Father in an act of love to his Father. So God wanted to replicate, to reproduce his divine life outside of himself. And he wanted the correspondence of his son, Adam, of his creatures. He wanted his creature to correspond this act of love. So he filled Adam with all the divine qualities as much as he, the creature, was able to possess. One distinction that we have to make here is that Adam is created. And that makes him immediately, right? Immediately as he is created, is not equal with God. Because God is not created. The second person of the Blessed Trinity is begotten by the Father, is not created, is begotten, we say in the Creed. Begotten by the Father. Adam was created. And God wanted to share his life with his creatures. And to replicate that act of love of giving and receiving. And he wanted Adam, the creatures, filled with all these divine attributes, to correspond to him. And this happened only as long as he was united with his will. And this is the divine will is that what enabled him, what gave him the capacity to correspond to God in this way, to have that order within himself, to have that union, to have that friendship with God, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, and to have this order within himself. If you see the first thing that God does in the book of Genesis is he brings orders. Where there was chaos, he brings orders. So the divine will, the will of God, resided in the soul of Adam, of innocent Adam, brought him, gave him order, friendship with God. As soon as he departed from the will of God, the opposite happened. And we see that disorder in the soul. The soul now inclined to sin. And we experience all the disorders of the soul. Pride, gluttony, laziness, lust, all the seven deadly sins. These are is a consequence of the human will wanting to live by its own, by Adam taking the presence of God out of himself, taking that divine presence and departing from that union. So we see that now the Lord has restored that union by dying for us, by becoming man, dying for us, reconciling us with the fathers. And by the petition of the Our Fathers, asking for the kingdom to descend, this is the time in which we have been called to live. In this time in which the Lord says, it is time for all of us to receive this gift. Many people, and many people, they think that this will, the coming of the divine will, the reigning of the divine will be a massive event, right? But this is only my interpretation and only my, according to what I have read in the Book of Heaven. And I share with you tonight how the Lord tells us that each soul is a little kingdom of the divine will. And how these little lights, as we come to encounter all these truths in the Book of Heaven, they become in us flashes of light, then they develop into fountains, and then they reach maturity until we become oceans of light. I think this will happen a little by little. It happens with each one of us coming to know, and by coming to know this gift and by sharing this gift, as this gift is known and is being lived by us, then new ways are being opened. Then God is preparing other souls. Our acts, they open the way for new souls to come and to know this gift. So I respect those people who they think it will be a massive event, right? I don't find it in the Book of Heaven, that the Lord says that it will be a massive event. But I think it will happen with each one of us, saying our fiat, giving our fiat to the Lord, preparing our souls, disposing our souls to receive the graces and to sharing this gift with others. Then by that, a little by little, this gift will be known and people will embrace it. And divine will descend a little by little, and hopefully it will change all of us. So this is what we encounter in the Book of Heaven. This is all I have for tonight. I hope you learned something, and I encourage you to look at those passages that I gave you tonight. I'm gonna repeat them. The passages that we look tonight is volume 36, November 6th, 1938. Then volume 24, March 25th, 1928. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 521, 2821. 2860, and we also look at volume 36, excuse me, volume 29, May 31, 1931. And we look at the passage in volume 23, October 2nd, 1927. About the state in which Adam was created and how he possessed these divine attributes, these divine qualities within himself as he was in the state of grace, and how he was living in the fullness of sanctity as much as the creature is able to possess, and how all these divine goods were found in him. And this is an expansion of what the Catholic Church teaches us about him being created in the state of grace. So please look at them, and you can meditate on these passages and see. Hopefully they will help you to understand more the class tonight. So let's finish with a Hail Mary, and then if you have questions related to the class, then we can share, okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.